And the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this week's Camillo's Corner on a snowy Monday morning. Bob Small, good morning to you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm happy to be here.
Well, yeah, I haven't seen you here in a while on the other side. Noah got stuck in Long Island in the storm.
Did they get hit worse than us? Maybe they did.
Yeah, he didn't say this morning. And no, I had the Weather Channel on last night, but they were only really, when I was watching, they were focused on the tornadoes in Alabama.
Oh, that's terrible.
23 in one county.
Died. And it could get worse because they haven't been able to find everybody yet.
No, it's always scary. And I sent a text message to a friend formerly from Greenwich and New Rochelle, who's down there in the North Carolina, South Carolina border. And it looked like it was going right for him. And at that point, he hadn't even paid attention to it and hadn't hit them yet. So he said, thank you, and, you know, I'm sure they're safe, but it's scary. It was down, went all the way down, I guess, to the Tallahassee, Florida area.
Wow.
And then was working its way up. So, I guess the snow stopped around Philadelphia, so they all got rain south of that, and we got the white stuff. So, but, you know, it's March 4th, so I don't mind snow in March because it's not going to last very long.
Well, I would just want to encourage everybody to get out and clean it off as soon as you can because the temperatures tonight are going to drop into the teens.
Great point, Bob. Yeah. And there is a law called the ice missile law that was introduced by Representative Larry Caffaro about maybe 9 or 10 years ago that it passed. He introduced it a lot, but it finally passed. And basically, you can get a ticket if you don't clear off the top of your car. And you're on the highway, and something, you know, goes into another car, and a state trooper sees you, you'll get a ticket. So if you're out there, don't just clean off your windshield. Please just go to the hood of your car and every spot of your car, and make sure that everything is cleared because as you said, it's going to ice up, and then it will become an ice missile, and then, God forbid, you could forget the ticket. You could really hurt somebody out there.
This is why people should be driving cars and not SUVs, because you can reach the top of a car. The SUVs, too high. They're too high.
Well,
that's just me talking. I don't,
Well, I have an SUV, and since I'm tall, it doesn't really matter.
Oh, but, okay. Right. Exactly.
But, you're absolutely right. It's a little harder with the a pickup truck or an SUV, but whatever you have, you got to clean it off because you will get a ticket and you could hurt somebody. And we'll be melting, at some point in the next few days, and then we have baseball coming. So
holy cow!
Yeah,
we're talking baseball already.
Opening day is March 28th.
Wow,
so we're talking 3 weeks, so a little over 3 weeks away.
And then again, St. Patty's Day. Stanford's already had their parade.
That's
crazy. Yeah, I know.
It's crazy that they have so early. Yeah. So we normally have it around the 17th. Yeah. I forgot what day it is here in Greenwich. But that's coming up. And those are hit and misses. They can be sort of mild or they can be really cold.
Yes.
And I remember growing up, they used to be a lot more wild than they are these days. But it was probably a good thing. But the bars used to be crawling with people. And, and if you went in just for a second, you had a hard time just getting anywhere because it was real elbow to elbow, but maybe that's not a bad thing that it's not that crazy anymore.
Well, as long as everybody's responsible.
That is true. Have a good time, but be responsible. Yeah. But Bob, we have two guests in the studio today.
Fantastic.
Anna Maria Santarelli of Anna Maria's Restaurant in Larchmont, which I had the pleasure of going to 2 weeks ago, and we had a great time there. The food is unbelievable, Bob. unbelievable. I always tell people, when you go to looking for an Italian restaurant and you walk into it, if it's a small place, then the chances are it's really good food. I know we were going to some small places for years, and I won't mention names, but when they expanded, the food was still really good, but it was never the same.
Yeah.
Just there's something about small little Italian restaurants, and Anna Maria's was all that I heard, and it was recommended to me by a guy who's in the studio, just coincidence, Bobby Capazzo.
Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Anna Maria.
Good morning.
So we'll start with, first we're going to start with Bobby, because I've known Bobby forever, and I guess he's known as Bob, but I call him Bobby.
There are people who do that to me, too. It's okay.
You can call me Bobby.
I've never called you Bobby. Bob is known to everybody here in Greenwich for many reasons, having grown up fairly close to Greenwich in Stanford, but has been a musician for many years. Merlin is the name of the band. They're very good. And also, he is a wonderful professional photographer who's just at about every event that I've been to in the last, I don't know, 25 years. Bob, it's not an event if you're not around.
Well, I appreciate that. I've actually been shooting for Moffley for 32 years, though.
So. Wow.
Yeah.
So you started when you were like 7 or 8?
I was 8. I had one of those little Fisher-Price cameras, you know.
So 32 years. That the first job you ever had in the photography
field? No, out of college, I worked for a company called Chris Richards down in, which is now Harbor Point near Fairway, working on slides and slideshows.
Are they still in business?
No, slideshows are gone.
The company's gone.
No, PowerPoint killed that company.
Okay.
So I worked there for 2 years, and then I ended up meeting Donna Moffley and Jack and working for them since when they bought the magazine, which was 1988.
Yeah, wow.
Or 87 or so.
Very good.
Yeah.
In fact, yeah, there were several photo shoots that we met at years back in the, I guess, late 80s, early 90s.
Well, that's how you and I met.
Yeah.
On a photo shoot. We did the Dogs Who Come to Work.
Yes. Yeah, that was the early 90s.
And we shot you with the...
Rocky.
Rocky in the Bruce Park.
Yeah,
with
the big
truck. With your truck.
Yeah. I still have that edition somewhere. But...
we shot Lieutenant Cochran, too, with his police dog. And
yeah, Rick. And then I think you had Governor Weicker in that one, too.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I have to try. I know I have it home. Yeah. I have to go back and check.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, he was in it. And they think one of the priests... who used to bring his dog to work, to mass, you took a picture of that, which is...
You got a better memory than me.
I remember silly things.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I could tell you, which I didn't have any today.
That's me either.
But so what you're, as far as you've done a lot of, photo shoots and jobs, what are your most memorable ones over the years?
It's always the people, the interesting people. I mean, not only the celebrities or the stars, but there was a guy who lived right here in Millbrook who invented the teleprompter. His name was Herbert Shaffley. And I just thought that was so interesting because everybody uses a teleprompter now. And these news anchors can't really get by without a teleprompter.
And I find them hard to use. I can't.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody uses them. But the few times I tried to use them, I always memorize what I'm going to say and don't even look down. But it gets harder and harder. But that I have a hard time doing, and that's easier. It should be much easier, but I'm not used to that.
Yeah, if you don't track it right, it's you're off. But he was an interesting guy. I mean, there's been so many interesting people I've photographed. I mean, Greenwich is a mecca for interesting people: financial world, the celebrity world, the athletic world. But my favorites are got to be Ron and Cheryl Howard. Absolutely the nicest people I've ever met.
Are they still in town?
Yeah, I think they are. They sold their house up in Conyers Farm. I think they're down here off of I think Indian Harbor somewhere.
It's funny you say that, because I used to see Ron Howard many years ago walking around town, and unassuming, and you would sometimes walk by him and you'd make eye contact, and he'd say hello, very, very nice, and you'd say hi back. But it was like just a regular person. You would never know that he had been that accomplished in his field. But he just, you just got the feeling that he was a really nice guy.
Well, actually, Ron's assistant called me and said, Bob, can you come to the house one day? Because it was Ron and Ron's parents' 50th anniversary or 40th anniversary. So I got to meet both his parents, and that's now you know why Ron is such a nice guy, because they were both actors. They grew up in the business, and they brought up Ron in the business. They were always on set on Andy Griffith or Gentle Ben, which is his brother Clint was on.
So where did he grow up? Not around here.
California, Hollywood.
Right, so he
went to Hollywood High, and that's where him and Cheryl met.
I bet you Clint's has done more acting than Ron has.
Clint's in every one of Ron's movies.
And he's in every science fiction thing there is, because he seems to be able to play weird characters so well.
Yeah, he's got it, yeah. But I didn't realize that was his brother until he came walking out into the living room like...
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I
remember him as a young kid in Andy Griffith, and God, that's got to be... I mean, they did the reruns for a while. That has to be in the 60s.
What? They're still doing them.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah.
But do you remember Gentle Ben? That was his brother. That was Clint.
I do.
Yeah, the bear, remember?
I never would have even...
No.
I never even knew they were brothers, but I do remember Gentle Ben.
Yeah, and Ron looks just like his dad does back then.
Who was the lead actor, the older guy in the Gentle Ben? I could picture him.
Was it Grizzly? Was it Dan Adams?
He had black hair, didn't he?
It was something like that.
Dan Adams? Right.
And he was called Grizzly Adams, right?
Right, it was Dan Adams. Yeah, so Grizzly Adams.
Think, yeah.
Yeah, right?
I'll Google it.
I think so.
But that's a long time ago.
Yeah, but just the nicest people you ever met. Very down to earth. They were very non-assuming. They didn't go for the cool Greenwich scene thing. And
how did he end up in Greenwich?
They actually had a day off, and someone said, you should go up to Greenwich. And they drove down Greenwich Avenue, saw cops on the avenue, said, this is kind of a cool town.
And really? The cops on the avenue did that?
Yeah, and they rented a house. They rented a house in Riverside and or Cost Cobb area. I think right behind, right where the firehouse is, right back there. And they loved it. They ended up buying the house up in Conyers Farm because they needed privacy and security. But Cheryl always said to me that was the best house they've ever had because it was
in Costco.
Yeah, because the kids, she said the kids would come home and the kids would come flying to the bushes and they'd play together.
So right behind the firehouse.
Yeah, right back there. Was that Sinaway?
In my old neighborhood. That's amazing that it's because it's a very blue collar neighborhood.
Yeah, but they're blue collar, even though they're famous. They're very blue collar. Like Cheryl said to me, you know, when the kids want to get a license to get a car, they're like, they're getting the beat up junk, they're not getting a new car.
When did they move to Costco? Do you know when that was?
I don't remember what year.
So I'm trying to figure it out, because I remember there was somebody that we used to always think that looked like Ron Howard when we were kids, but I don't think it could have been him.
I would think about 20 years ago or so.
Oh no, this was way before that. But
just non-assuming people. And Cheryl studied martial arts and I studied martial arts, so we had a bond there.
Interesting.
We actually did a photo shoot at the house one day, and we had the art director there, the writer who never wrote for us, and we're in the kitchen talking about stuff, and Cheryl says to Ron, you know, Bob's a black belt too, and he said, oh yeah, what do you do? I said, oh, I do Hapkido and Taekwondo, and she says, Ron said, what's Hapkido? Cheryl says, oh, I'll show you, and we'll show you. So Cheryl came at me, and I flipped her and put her on the kitchen floor gently. But the writer turns to the art director. She says, oh, my God. She says, Bob's beating up Mrs. Howard. And everybody just looked and said, no, they're friends. They do this all the time.
Oh, fuck.
But just...
Well, I bet you Ron was well-behaved that day.
Oh, yeah. Ron's great. They're just non-assuming people. We did the shoot, and Bryce, who's been in a lot of the Jurassic Park movies, Bryce just got engaged, and he came to me and says, Bob, is any chance you could take a picture of Bryce and her fiancé? I need some pictures for our calendar. I'm like, yeah, I've got the camera already out and the lights. He's like, you don't mind? I'm like, no.
Well, that's been his career has spanned, I want to say, 60 years.
Yeah.
Maybe more, actually, because if you're going back into, about 60 years, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, starting with Andy Griffith, and he was actually in commercials before that. So just the nicest people you've ever wanted to meet.
Well, I'm sure you have so many stories. Do you ever think about putting a little book together about all your experiences?
Yeah, I think eventually. It's for my daughter to read, eventually.
Don't forget to stick a little one chapter in there about how you act at some of these sports banquets, taking people's food when they're not looking.
that's not a true story, so we're not going to put that in. That's an urban legend, actually, that Mr. Dave Tice came up with.
Well, I think it's partially true, but you know the old saying, never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Oh, yeah. We don't want to embellish on that one, Fred. Not on the air.
Hey, Fred, you want to take a quick break at this point?
Absolutely. We'll be back in a few moments with the next segment of Camillo's Corner.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Our storm moving away. Skies becoming mostly sunny, breezy today, 35 to 40. Clear and colder tonight, 13 to 17. Mostly sunny tomorrow, unseasonably cold, 25 to 30. On Wednesday, more clouds, afternoon snow showers, snow flurries, 25, and partly sunny, breezy, cold. On Thursday, 25 to 30. Friday, partly sunny with a high of 35. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackwoman on 1490 WGCH.
I just can't stop scratching. Struggling to get relief from itching due to your atopic dermatitis, also known as eczema? If so, you may qualify for a clinical study testing an investigational medication for the itch associated with atopic dermatitis. Qualified participants will receive study-related care at no charge. Call 1-844-777-4824, 1-844-777-ITCH, or visit advandastudy.com for more information on how to participate. Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases every month, automatically. Plus, there are no monthly fees or minimum balances. Now you can get cash back on the way you like to pay. Open a Discover bank account and get the debit card with cash back. Go to discoverbank.com/debit. Limitations apply. Excludes money market accounts. Discover Bank, member FDIC.
This is Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library. It's that time of year again, and by that, I mean tax time. Greenwich Library can help. The library has an assortment of Connecticut, New York, and federal forms available for you to take, and librarians can assist you in tracking down forms from other states or previous years. Are you the do-it-yourself type? The library has many tax prep guides available from trusted sources such as H&R Block and J.K. Lasser. If you need a little help preparing your taxes, free tax assistance will be provided by the AARP Foundation every Saturday at the main library from now until April 13th. Assistance is available from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. and is provided on a first-come, first-served basis. Please bring photo ID along with all income information, any W-2s, and last year's tax return. Please call the library at 622-7910 if you have any questions. I'm Margaret Walsh of Greenwich Library on 1490 WGCH.
Around the House with Steve Gladstone on Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 is jam-packed with important information, preventative maintenance, and all sorts of home tips to keep your house in great shape and your family safe. We have special guests on heating, cooling, environmental issues, and we make it fun with trivia contests and prizes. Don't let that home fall apart around you. Join us Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 on Around the House with Steve Gladstone on 1490 WGCH.
Okay, we're back with this next segment of Camillo's Corner and continuing with Bob Capazzo. Bob, you know, we were saying before, you're involved with everything.
Yeah.
What have you been doing lately as far as the band and other endeavors that you're involved in?
Obviously, I mean, most people know I'm a photographer, but they don't realize I have a band. Merlin is our band. We play a lot around here, and we've been busy with benefits and playing at the country clubs and just having a blast with that. I'm also actually on the committee for the Greenwich Hospital under the STARS committee.
And great event.
Yeah, great event. This year they're going to have it at Riverside Yacht Club on May 17th. Great entertainment. They've got 98 Degrees coming. They got April Larkin spinning. They got Jeff Glore from CBS News, our MC. And the benefits, the proceeds will benefit the pediatric and women's health at Greenwich Hospital. So anybody wants to get in touch for information, just call Stephanie Dunashley at 203-863-3865 or events at greenwichhospital.org. And it's going to be a great event. It's always a nice night out on the water.
You couldn't have a better venue.
Oh, it's so nice. They always get the best weather.
Yes, it's one of you're at those events, and you're like, God, I can't believe I'm actually I live in an area where they you have places have views like this, and they have events like this, and you have people that yeah. are that generous and civic minded to put in a lot of time, really,
yeah.
for lots of causes. This being for the hospital, but
yeah, and they're also also going to honor the Warwick family. Most people know Bruce Warwick in town. He's done a lot of construction of the town. You know, in town in New York as well, and Dr. Karen Santucci, Shreve Crump and Lowe, the jewelry store here, the Walker family, really nice family. So it's a great event. It's one of my favorite. That and the Beach Bowl are like my two favorites to shoot because of the location.
The Beach Bowl, yeah, I remember. I haven't been there in a while, but I remember one year. It was the first year I was there. I didn't realize they have carts that take you there.
Yeah,
and I felt so out of place because I was going to walk there. And they said, no, jump in. And as I'm driving there in this car and taking a ride in this car, I saw friends, who were at the beach. And I felt,
they're cooking out,
God.
Right?
Yeah.
Because they drive right through the grill area.
Yeah, I was embarrassed. I really I vowed not to do that again.
That also is always nice weather. It's just,
I just remember one year it had rained. That was it. And it was a little bit swampy.
Yeah, but when 2 years ago it rained, and then they had that most magnificent rainbow that came out that I actually got a photograph of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think just about everybody got a photo of that one.
Yeah, but I had a really super wide-angle lens, so I got the entire thing.
Well, I was standing up in the window here trying to get it, so I got that whole thing, but I had so many trees in the way.
Yeah, I got it right on the horizon of the water.
Oh,
it's a perfect shot. So that was great.
It was great.
Yeah, they were trying to serve dinner, and everybody left the tent, and the caterer was not happy.
How many people do they have at that?
I think it's over 500.
Yeah, it's amazing that you can get 500 people. And at night, it's because it's always weird, because we used to have Board of Parks and Rec meetings at the Old Greenwich Yacht Club once a year. And by the time you leave, it'd be 10 o'clock, and we drive around the back of the point, and you're only there during the day, so there's no one there, nothing. Yep. It's still, it's serene, it's really nice, but it's kind of weird because you're never there at night.
No, and that's when all the rabbits come out in that little area. If you drive around at night, there's like thousands of rabbits running around.
Yeah, and there's also a couple foxes living
there. Yeah, raccoons, it's great.
Yeah, it's a great event. So thank you for alerting us to that. And when is your next Merlin gig?
Next Merlin gig is going to be for St. Paddy's Day at Saltaire on the 16th, starting at 9 o'clock.
Porchester.
Yeah, in Porchester. Beth Barnes and the group. That's always fun. Last two times we played there, we played 2 and 3 hours straight.
Wow.
Fun crowd.
Yeah, that's. Really, I haven't really been there yet, but I know I went to the old, what was it called before, where Saltaire is now?
Oh, Willett House.
Willett House.
Yeah.
Many. I mean, I'm going back almost 20 years ago. That's the last time I was there. But I know Al DeMarco used to sing there a lot.
Yeah, no, it's a great. I'm actually playing with my friend's band. They're called Sue and the Fun Ghouls. It's ghouls as in ghosts. And I'm
Italian speakers out there. He did not swear.
No. It's a really fun band. I'm going to be playing with them. Last year they sold out, so if anyone wants to come and see us, make sure you say you're with the band, because they reserved at least 20 tables for us.
Okay. No, that's good. You reminded me of that name. It's one of my favorite names for a band, but besides Merlin, of course.
Of course. Merlin's first.
So a few weeks ago, I sent Bobby a text. I said, Bob, what was the name of that restaurant you told me to go to last year? I kept saying Marianne's,
Anna Marie's.
And I'm looking, I'm Googling, I can't find it. So I texted Bob, and Bob says, no, it's Anna Maria's in Larchmont. So I Googled it, and I went there, and what a great place. And with that, we'll segue into Anna Maria Santarelli. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, what a pleasure. We were talking about you last week. Your ears must have been ringing on the show. But first off, where are you from, and how did you get into this business?
Well, I'm from Naples, Italy. I immigrated here in 1972 with my family. And I always had a passion for cooking since I was a little girl. And from that moment on, I knew this was going to be my career for some reason, It's in my blood. And my mom was a very good cook, and she taught me so many things. and one of them was cooking. So, and it all came from there.
It's amazing. One of my grandfathers was born in Naples, and I haven't been yet, so it's on my bucket list.
You really need to visit.
I know.
It's an experience itself. The food, the people, the music.
I've heard nothing but great things, and people who some go have been multiple times, others the one time they've gone, all they do is talk about the trips, no matter where they've been in Italy. I just have to make sure, Bob, that I have my Xanax ready for the flight, because I don't like to fly. But
me too.
Really?
Yeah.
So you came here in 72. I know you worked at some pretty famous places, including one historic landmark right in the heart of Manhattan.
Yes, I did. I was in culinary school back then, and I was pretty fortunate to be at a place where at the right place at the right time, I should say. I was in culinary school, and I got a call from the office, and they needed someone at Gracie Mansion, and that was on the David Dinkins administration I started. And I started there, and the moment that I started there, the family really fell in love with me. I didn't have as much as experience, but I was very lucky enough that they gave me that opportunity. And going forward, I worked for Rudy Giuliani, our next mayor, for two terms. And that was quite an experience. I enjoyed every moment of it. I had an amazing journey with the family. Forward, I went to Bloomberg. I worked for Bloomberg for quite a while.
Three terms, right?
Three terms.
Wow.
And then I got a phone call from the Trump administration. And so...
When he was president, or before?
No. Before. Mm-hmm. So I started working at Trump Tower for Trump Grill, his restaurant, and as private chef for Trump at the time also.
So that was only a year, though?
That was only a year I worked there. But then my passion changed. My passion changed because I wanted to open up my own restaurant. It was time to move on. I wanted something for me. Mm-hmm. Because I worked for these wonderful people. Everyone I worked for, I had a different experience. And it brought something to the table for me. So I decided that, I have to follow my dream. And my dream was to open up a restaurant.
How did you end up in Westchester?
Well, I moved to Westchester at the time my partner and I bought a house. And I wanted to have a different kind of lifestyle, more like a suburban type. And I felt Westchester was a beautiful place to live. Mm-hmm. And I fell in love with it. But I didn't know how the hell I was going to be accepted, especially in Larchmont. It's a tough town. Mm-hmm. But if they love you, they will please you and they will take care of you. And that's where I am now. But, it takes guts. Because it's not easy. The industry is a difficult one. It's a challenge every day. But I am very passionate. I'm a very determined person. Nothing gets in my way. And I want what I want. And that's how I accomplish things in my life.
Well, most new businesses fail, unfortunately. And especially, I have to believe, the restaurant business. That statistics magnify. But once you establish yourself and you get a good reputation, it's really word of mouth. And like what Bobby saying, to me to go to visit you last fall, even though I hadn't gotten there until a few weeks ago, it was always in the back of my mind, even though I had your name wrong, it was always in the back of my mind. And I knew the town, Larchmont, from what Bob told me. And going there, it was built up. So I walked in there thinking, I know this is a great place. And then when I saw how small it was, I loved it. Because there's something about, as I was saying before, something about small places. And you immediately, in a small Italian restaurant, you feel like you're in your living room. You feel at home.
Well, I never owned a restaurant before. So I wasn't sure what I was going to accomplish and the risk I was going to take. Every money I had, every penny I had, I put into my place. And I said, I have to make this work. I don't know how to manage a restaurant, but I know how to cook. But I learned my mistake through the time of managing my place. And that's how you learn in life. And my place is like a little it's just like a living room, like you said, and everybody loves it. I know everyone that walks into my door, and if I don't know someone that walks into my door, I make sure I greet them, and I try to talk to them, and I try to give them best I can, as customer service is very important to me. I just love people, I love food, and I love my little place, and I've been there almost 13 years. And my reputation is very important to me. It's what I accomplished. I work really hard to make sure we're consistent. And sometimes that's a little bit difficult in our industry.
No, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, you do come out and greet the people and you hang out for a little bit. And I don't see that much anymore in other restaurants. I remember I was in Fort Lauderdale a couple of years ago or last year, and I went to a great place called Casa Calabria. And the two owners were there that night, and they came over and they hung out for a little while. But they weren't cooking. You were actually working. And it's nice when the owners come out. It's really nice when the chef comes out. And when you get both in one, being you, it was really impressive. And the fact that, you know, that doesn't leave people. Because everybody goes to restaurants, right? And that very rarely happens. So you could have made, even if it was a so-so restaurant, which it wasn't, that would have left a really good memory with somebody, and I'm sure they would have come back. But, you know, you said you worked at Gracie Mansion for those years. Do you keep in contact with any of the former mayors?
I have in the past. I still have some kind of connection, and I keep that private. And I always had a good relationship with every employer that I worked for. That's very important to me. I don't burn my bridges because what I believe in dedication and loyalty. And so when you have that kind of respect from the employer, you know, your relationship continues. And that's what I have with everyone that I worked for.
Oh, that's nice. That is really nice.
And it's all about how you treat people with respect and dignity. To me, that's important. I come from that Italian home where family is important to me. My friends are very important to me. My job is important to me. And I try to be as positive as I can be because that's the way you go forward. And that's what I do at work. I try to always be there and to be the best person I can be, the best chef I can be to everyone in Larchmont and whoever I get to meet.
Did you, when you were in Gracie Mansion, did you live in the mansion?
Yes, I did have my own place at Gracie Mansion. I had a great time. I cooked for so many people, so many famous people. I can't even tell you. I'd write a book about that.
Any favorite ones that you would be willing to say?
Yes, I have many. One of them is Andrea Bocelli, Barbara Streisand, Bette Midler.
And these were, they were nice?
Awesome. Everyone that I cooked for, I met and I was able to have a conversation with them because the mayor and the first lady always allowed me to do that with all the permission, obviously, because I think in order to gate that, you have to respect where you work. Mm-hmm. And they were very good to me. But these are memories that will carry on forever. Mm-hmm. And those memories are also a part of my restaurant. And if you come into my restaurant, you'll see many pictures with so many that I work for. And the experience itself is just something you'll never forget. And that's what brings more to me what I want to continue as a goal going forward.
Has anybody ever famous ever walked into your restaurant?
Yes, they have.
I won't mention who, because
no.
I know. Besides Bobby Cabazzo.
Bob Cabazzo, yes, of course. He's very famous to me. He's actually my personal photographer.
This is true.
And he's one of the best person I ever met. And also, when I'm ready to start my book, Bob will actually help me with the photos that hopefully I get some permission. We'll display them in my book, my cookbook.
Then there was one on the wall there. I think you posted it today. You took Anna Maria.
Yes.
Yeah, well, what's the feeler end? There's a good story there. You have to tell them the story.
Well, I had the pleasure to meet Sophia Loren. And so what I did, I took that photo with the frame itself to the center where she was speaking. So it was agreed to meet also. So when I got to her and I brought the picture and I showed it to her and she smiled and she said, "Can I have it?" And I said, "No." which is a true story. And why didn't I give it to her? I'm not sure where that picture was going because that picture was so important to me. I didn't think about the fact that Bob could have had
I told you should have gave it to her.
I should have given it to her, but I didn't. But that was an experience itself. Meeting
so
her,
it's, and she's my Sophie Loren's my favorite actress, and really? And she's from Naples.
She's
as well.
From Naples too.
Well,
and
I didn't even know that.
She's,
yeah.
She's my role model, as you can see in my restaurant. There's photos, especially in the men's room.
Have you gone to the men's room?
Yes, I did.
Do you see how many pictures in the men's room?
I did. I noticed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I love about her is where she came from, poverty, and who she became, and struggle as a woman. And she was loyal to the end with her husband to be who she was. And just the person itself, the character of a person, show you who the person is.
And she still
that's
lives
an icon, and she still lives, yes.
In Italy?
No, she lives in early in Switzerland, I believe.
Okay.
So she's like an icon to us Neapolitan people, and I'm sure so many men across the world.
Yeah, as Bob raises his hand.
I love her. She's, to me, was the most beautiful woman ever.
Gracious, kind, gorgeous, and, you know, just there's nothing, an amazing, beautiful woman itself.
Well, it's nice. It's nice to hear that and hear that they're actually nice people, too. We've all met celebrities and famous people in sports, business,
well,
politics.
Well, it's funny you said that.
Some are nice, some are not so nice.
So I cooked for George Steinberg when he was alive at Gracie Mansion.
You did?
Yes. So I have a photo with him on the wall on my left when you come to the restaurant. So Rudy Giuliani called me up, and we were really good friends. Besides, I was his chef. He said, you know, we have a few guests coming in. You have to make dinner, whatever. George is coming, and the owner of Le Cirque is coming, his wife, the mayor of Tuscany is coming. I'm like, oh, my God, he's throwing all these names at me. And, you know, I was like, okay, I got to get this together. So everyone in the kitchen said to me, oh, my God, we want to meet him. Can we get an autograph? And I'm like, I'll ask the mayor, you know. So I never been into sports, so I didn't know much about it. So I wanted to actually meet him and have an autograph from him, but I didn't have anything. So I went downstairs and I found an article on him. And so at the end of the dinner, the mayor brought me into the dining room, the private dining room, and he introduced me to George, because this is my chef, and she wants you to actually autograph your article. So he picked up the article and he said, what is this? And I said, it's your article. And he said, where did you get this? I said, in the garbage. He's like, do you know what that means? I mean, no, I didn't read the article. He goes, well, it belongs there because it says boss is pinching for pennies because I'm frugal. So I was like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. He goes, you know what? I really liked you, so I'm going to autograph that for you. So it was a great story.
And he really wasn't frugal. He actually was very free with his money, but that's a great story, and I've heard from people that knew Mr. Steinbrenner, he could be very, very, very tough, but he also did. Oh, he could fire you, and the next day, pay your tuition for your kids or take care of hospital bills for your mom. He was in quietly. He was that type of a guy. So, you know, outwardly he may sound like look like a curmudgeon sometimes, but he was actually very good-hearted. Yep. So that's a great story.
Yes.
Really, is a great story. And I know Rudy Giuliani, who I met a couple of times, but spent maybe like 45 minutes with him and my mom and sister many years ago in New York. And we just had a great time. I mean, he was one of these guys that would – you had the feeling you were in the presence of a great person, but also he relaxed you. He was asking questions about you, and he was waiting for answers, and he was talking about the Yankees, and he was talking about this and that, and he really calmed you down. He knew a lot about our area here. He has lots of friends here, and just a wonderful guy, and, you know, the job he did as mayor will never be forgotten. I always say they should put a statue up for him, because I remember going into New York when I was young. And it was a fascinating place, but it always wasn't the nicest. And he cleaned it up, and he made it a destination again, a place that everybody was proud of.
Especially Times Square.
Well,
yeah.
As someone that worked for him, I really had total respect for him. He was a tough guy. I learned a lot from him. And I became really close to him, and I had an amazing experience with him in many ways, especially when he got sick. I was taking care of him. I don't know if you recall when you had prostate cancer.
Yes.
I was there for him around the clock, to the hospital, to doctors, and so on. I was like his nurse. So we became, you know, not he was just my employer. We became friends. And that was important to me, that he trusted me. He trusted me in so many ways with his children. Anything that I was able to make sure that he looked good. You know, I was in charge of so many events at Gracie Mansion, breakfast, lunch, brunch, parades, and so on, out of nowhere at times. You know, I worked around the clock 7 days a week, from early in the morning, 5 o'clock, to midnight. You become a different person because you learn about how to go forward and be positive in your work area, because sometimes it's a challenge how much work is thrown at you. Mm-hmm. But it's always there's always like the pros and cons and everything. And there was so many great things about it, because the man was always so great to me. He walked into the kitchen. That was his first stop, to come in and hug me and kiss me, to tell me it was nice to see you here, and, you know, and so on. I mean, not everyone does that. Mm-hmm. So my relationship with him was an amazing one. And I'll never forget that. He was an excellent mayor. He was America's mayor on 9/11. That's my opinion, because I was behind the scene. And I respected him for what he's done to this country. And, you know, he will always be someone that I look up to.
Oh, that's very nice to hear. And it certainly, you know, fits in with my view of him too, and but only coming from somebody who knows him very well. So we'll continue with these stories for the last segment of Camillo's Corner. Be right back.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Morning clouds moving out, skies becoming mostly sunny, breezy, 35 to 40 today. Clear, colder tonight, 13 to 17. Mostly sunny, unseasonably cold tomorrow, 25 to 30. More clouds, afternoon snow showers, snow flurries Wednesday, 25. Partly sunny, breezy, cold, 25 to 30 Thursday, and partly sunny, 35 on Friday. Well, instead of slipping and sliding after a winter storm like this, you can float your way to Long Island, New York, aboard the Port Jeff Ferry. Never any snow drifts or black ice on Long Island Sound. Be warm and relaxed. Call the Port Jeff Ferry, 888-443-3779. I'm meteorologist Bill Jackman on 1490 WGCH.
You're the family chef, but with homework, practices, email, getting a good meal on the table is tough. Sometimes the best choice is the easy choice. Delicious Bob Evans mashed potatoes and mac and cheese, made with ingredients like real milk, butter, potatoes, and cheese. Bob Evans sides are ready in the microwave in 6 minutes, and they're the perfect complement to any meal. Once your family tries them, it'll be love at first bite. Get Bob Evans sides today in the refrigerated section at your favorite grocery store.
Bob Evans down on the farm.
This is what Flo from Progressive sounds like in one of our commercials. You may have seen one there on TV occasionally.
And speaking of motorcycle insurance rates, did you know that our basic motorcycle policies start at just $75 a year? And speaking of insurance, I just love...
And this is how that same commercial sounds on your motorcycle.
Don't you? And
yeah, everything's better on a bike. Progressive keeps you on yours. Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
The Greenwich Time has been your local daily newspaper since 1877. As the news landscape has changed, so has the Greenwich Time. Now readers can have their newspapers delivered right to their inbox via Greenwich Time's digital edition and viewed anytime or anywhere. Their digital edition is an exact copy of that day's newspaper, complete with news, features, obituaries, and sports in an easy-to-read format. No more delivery issues, just log on to read. For less than 40 cents per day, you can have the digital edition of the Greenwich Time delivered right to your inbox, making the convenience of keeping on top of local news as easy as enjoying your favorite morning coffee. Subscribe today by logging on to GreenwichTime.com or calling subscriber services at 203-629-2208. Greenwich Time, your only local newspaper, in print and online. Call today.
Hi, I'm Lisa Wexler. Join us every weekday on this station between 4 and 6 o'clock p.m. Hey, if you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. We're listening to what's happening in our community, and we want to hear from you as well. We talk politics, science, and the arts. We consult with experts, and we want your opinion. So join us every weekday. I'm Lisa Wexler right here at 1490 WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere.
Okay, we are back with the final moments of this week's Camillo's Corner, and with the Brass Bonanza playing in the background, and here with Bobby Capazzo and Anna Maria Santarelli of Anna Maria's Restaurant in Larchmont, and we're talking before about, you know, my visit there, and I was bragging about the food. Tell the audience, what type of food do you serve there? What's your favorite dishes? What are you most known for? And
well, the most important to me is that you have a good fresh tomato sauce. That's the key to an Italian Neapolitan cuisine. If you don't have a good tomato sauce, you should not open your door, period. Pastas are very important to me because I love pasta. We have many different dishes with pasta, and they're homemade. Freshness is important to me. The ingredients are important to me. I'm hands-on every day. I do all the cooking. I do all the shopping. Basically, I do everything in the kitchen and outside the kitchen because I have to have control over my small place. I want to make sure the customers are happy with the quality of food they're receiving from me. So that's important. And the cuisine is Neapolitan, but also I take a twist on it on specials and become a little bit more different, you know, something more creative, something more trendy. But the most important thing is that everything is done with love, because I do have the passion of what I do, and it shows on my plate. And many people, with the feedback I receive, is how wonderful the food is and it's presented. One of my favorite dishes on the menu is eggplant parmigiana, and this has been a number one since I opened the restaurant, and I did not have it on the menu. So my mom back then in 2006 looked at the menu and said, you know, how come you haven't put your eggplant on the menu? And I said, Mom, you know, everybody makes it. It's, you know, just the same. She goes, no, but ours is different. So let's try it. And we did. It's been a success since then. It's delicious. It's very light. It's like paper thin. And the tomato sauce itself and the cheese, it's not overwhelmed with cheese, because most people, what they do is they overdo things with so much sauce, so much mozzarella. When you go to Italy, you don't get that. Mm-hmm. So I want to bring what we are brought up with. You know, I don't want this an American dish. I want it to be the authentic Italian eggplant parmigiana. So that's one everyone's favorite at the restaurant. Also, I have a signature dish people love. The signature dish is with linguine, and it's a simple dish, but it is, again, it's all about the ingredients. It's made with crab meat and shiitake mushroom and fish broth. So some of the dishes, the homemade lasagna, it's, you know, like, again, homemade pasta, the mozzarella, the ricotta fresca. So that's important. You know, like I said, the basic of the cooking, if you don't have the basic stuff right, you're not going to have the taste, and you're not going to have the quality of it. You can't have a brown tomato sauce on your pasta. It's got to be fresh tomato sauce, nice and bright and red. You know, that you know it's a good tomato sauce. And we used to actually sell it from the restaurant. We became really famous for that.
Really?
Yes. So those are the things that are important to me. Besides, you know, I could name so many other dishes. But the most important thing is to keep the quality and the consistency in this business.
Yeah, but also, I mean, my father-in-law is the one who introduced me to Anna Marie. He's a food connoisseur. But Anna Marie will come to the table and say, what do you feel like having tonight? I mean, he orders stuff that's not on the menu.
Right.
He says, well, I kind of like this, this, and he says, well, I'll put it together for you. I mean, I order stuff from her all the time.
He's a pain in the ass, yes.
I said to her, I sort of want pasta with some ravioli on top.
Yeah, I never understood that.
And I said to her, she put on the menu. But the thing is, I mean, I even walk into the kitchen all the time to say hello. It is. It's like your home. I feel like I'm going to my aunt's house. But she'll cook you whatever you want, as long as she's got the ingredients. It doesn't have to be on the menu. I mean, what place can you go into?
No, I don't know of anyone that knows.
I have to say something about that. you know, especially for Easter time and so on, most Italians, they don't actually go out to restaurants because they feel, I could do better. That's Italian attitude, by the way. So the people off the boat, like myself. So, but once they experience my cooking, because I'm really from the other side, and I learned from my mother some really amazing dishes. So I brought so many people I could please because they're like, wow, this is like really home, you know. So to please an Italian off the boat, it's a challenge because they always think they could do better. So for me to do what I do best and for them to give me credit and to make me feel like I'm doing what they do, it's a plus.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I'm like, I'm flattered by that.
I'm kind of regretting even bringing this up because, as I said before, I hadn't eaten breakfast. Now my stomach is growling. But Bobby, what is your favorite dish there?
Well, she gets mad at me to make it, but she makes ravioli alla vodka over pappardelle.
Yeah.
And she throws meatballs in it. And I like it.
You mentioned meatballs, and I went to had the pleasure of going to Rao's one time in my life a couple months ago, and I don't eat meatballs. I don't eat meat, but I used to eat meat. My grandma Camillo's meatballs when I was a kid, and they were unbelievable. And I always said no one will ever touch. But the Rao's are really good. I would take a chance and having eaten your food, I would bet anything that your meatballs are up there with anybody's.
Well, you know what? They're homemade. You know, I use beef, pork, and veal.
And things I don't even eat.
I know, but you know, I'm not. I am. I don't eat meat.
Yeah.
But when I do cook, I have to taste. It's very important. I'm not allergic to meat. That's my choice. Yeah. Obviously, you know, as a chef, I do have to taste things, and that's important. But you will love it. I promise.
Well, if you ever are, you know, hiring for somebody to come and just taste your pastas and things, I can do that.
I love that. Absolutely.
You got to bring Bob, too. Right, Bob?
I could taste anything. Don't
bring him.
Yeah. No problem at all.
Yeah. Who doesn't like food?
Yeah.
You know, food is love.
Exactly. Well, you can't live without it.
You can't live without it, but you know what? Some people say, I'm on a diet. I'm like, you cannot come to my restaurant and tell me you're on a diet. It's impossible.
Get out. Throw them out.
You know? The key is to love food and to enjoy it.
No, I tell you, it was a great experience. I can't wait to come back. And in fact, Bobby, we'll go in the next couple of weeks when you have time.
Yeah, I try to go, at least once, twice a month.
Well,
I stop in all the time after jobs because it's late and I've got to eat. And most of these time, these benefits I shoot, they don't feed me. So,
which is unbelievable.
Yeah. So I just jump on 95 and get off exit 16. And I go see Anna Marie. And I just walk in the kitchen. I tell her what I want and she makes it. She screams and yells at me, but food comes out.
Always.
Too bad we can't open up a Costco branch in your restaurant. It would be something that everybody would love here in town.
Well,
thank you. And please, you have an open invitation to come back on the show anytime.
Thank you.
And we will be seeing you soon at the restaurant.
Thank you. And I'm flattered to be here. And I want to thank everyone here that has invited me.
Well, you've made everybody hungry now. So
thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Anna Maria, thank you so much. Bobby, thank you.
You're welcome, Fred. Always a pleasure.
Well, and we'll see you again. Merlin's next gig is
March 16th, Saltaire, St. Paddy's Day celebration with Anthony and Sue. Really fun band.
All right, well, everybody, the fun ghouls.
Ghouls as in ghosts.
Right.
So, yes.
I don't want to get the 7-second sleep out there. All right, well, thanks again for coming in to visit us on Camillo's Corner. I am Fred Camillo for Bob Small and Teddy Roosevelt. See you next week.
Grazie.
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.